You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey, welcome back. I am your host, Captain Dean, and another exciting episode being taped on location at Mellow Matt's Music and more exotic. And beyond. And my guest is none other than Mr. Andy Morgan. How are
you? What's going on, brother? Good to be here, man.
Thank you for being here. I am very excited that you walked in the door.
I know, kind of lucked into it.
And I begged you to sit down and do that.
I was like, I'm going home to put the Christmas tree up, and then you're like, let's talk about music. And I was like,
I like music.
Me. Yeah, yeah.
I can do that later.
I listen to it on occasion.
Andy, thank you so much for being here. You are well known as Andy on the morning show Brooke and on Woohoo.
Yeah, Woohoo 107.1.
Woohoo 107.1. Give me a big Woohoo!
Woohoo!
And a lot of people know you from that, obviously. You do other things around the music scene, or in Bowling Green, involving the music scene, which we touched on before I started rolling, but you do events like karaoke and DJ work.
Yeah, I host a weekly karaoke night here in town, and of course I DJ weddings, parties, you know, so I'm out and about in the scene all the time. But first and foremost, when we're talking about the local music scene, I'm a fan. I go watch live music. You know,
you very much are.
Bands here in town pretty much every chance I get.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And you're diehard about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a very passionate music fan.
I try really hard to be, yeah. It's and, of course, it is easy to be passionate about it, but, you know, sometimes you have to sacrifice other things that you'd like to do in your life to be like, well, I'm going to go watch these bands play. I'm not could stay home and read that book I've been trying to finish for 6 months, but I'm going to go watch this band play.
There's a good band playing.
That's right.
Our music scene is rich in music,
it
and
is.
There's always good bands
it's
playing.
It's crazy, yeah.
And I've run into you quite a bit lately, at Tidballs especially. Before we get deep into your life and stuff, where are you from?
Born and raised right here, Bowling Green.
You are a native.
That's right.
Awesome.
Born and bred, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And battered.
Born bred, double battered, deep fried.
Deep fried. Yeah. Kentucky fried.
my parents were from the area. My dad was originally from Indianapolis, but he moved here when he was 10. And he's basically from here. And then my mom was from the area as well. So this is where I've been.
You have.
And I'm very proud to be part of the community.
You are a musician. You do play music.
Yeah. I haven't played consistently in a band in a while. I jam and do things. Primarily a drummer. That's what I've done the most.
So what have you done over the years? Did anything in particular, like band-wise, get started? Did you play out? Did you do gigs?
Oh yeah. I mean, I played out.
Talk about your music career.
With a handful of projects, you know, kind of bounced around between a few different bands. It's so embarrassing when you throw out old band names because these are also ancient band names.
Well, ancient depending on the generation of what you're talking about.
Sure. I played in a band for a while. You'll like this band named Red River George.
I remember this name.
Yeah. I played with them. And, of course, I played with, the band that became Rainbow Kitty Kitty. I played with them before they were Rainbow Kitty Kitty.
Really?
Yeah. Before Seth came in on drums, that's what I played with them. And I've done a lot of different things.
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, I played in a lot of bands with, I'll give Trey Bartley a shout out. And you played in multiple bands with him.
Yeah.
A band called Martyred Sinner at one point, some different things. Pretty good cross-section of types of music I've been involved with playing out. But
you played drums?
Primarily, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've dabbled here and there with other things. I took piano lessons for years, so I play some keys and sing when asked to.
What got you started on the path of wanting to be a drummer? And what got you into music in general?
So that's a funny question because I never wanted to be a drummer because I love being the center of attention, as anyone that knows me would know.
So you should have been the drummer in the 1920s when they were the center
of the attention. Exactly. Yeah. Taking notes from Gene Krupa, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, I wanted to be a guitar player, and that never panned out. I mean, I won't even say serviceable on guitar. At this point, at one point, I was serviceable, but at this point, if someone was like, jam with us, I'd be like, I can strum some chords. I was doing that and taking piano lessons, doing all these things. But my brother was a drummer, And he's 4 years older than me, and he was playing with, this is fun to share this story, because I don't really, this is not a thing I ever explained to anybody. My brother was playing in a punk band at the time called Running Over Pedestrians. Now, that's really old school Bowling Green music scene.
Yes,
it
is.
At this point, yeah. And he broke his arm at one point, so I filled in on drums for them for a little bit when I was like 13.
Oh, wow.
Because, they were old enough to be playing shows. And
but, now, what year was this?
Oh, man. This is 2000. Two,
okay,
ish, and so because he was playing drums and his kit would always be there, and he didn't want me playing his kit, but when he wasn't home or whatever, I'd sneak in
of course.
And play, and I got pretty good, and I didn't really know it. It snuck up on me that I had gotten kind of good at drums.
Wow,
and I knew all their songs because they practiced in my house,
right?
So then they were like, "Oh, you want to sit in with us?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And and all of a sudden, I'm like able to play the songs, and they were like, "Whoa!" And then it just kind of kept going from there that, when I would jam with people after school and high school, they would be like, "You're really good on drums, man. Yeah. You should play with us." And so that was what was always, I guess that's the thing I ended up being the best at, whether I wanted to be or not, which I love playing drums, don't get me wrong. And I love good drummers. When I watch bands live, you'll see me watching the drummer. I mean, because I love, and I get bassist envy when I watch a good bass player. I'm like, "Ooh, I know exactly what I would do on drums to this." But of course, like I said, I'm not really. My schedule's so packed right now. I'm not really active with
anybody.
Yes, you
are. I mean, you're the. I know you've been at the radio station for a while.
Yeah.
But you inherited at some point the morning show.
Yeah.
With Brooke.
Yeah, and
so you get up at what, 4 o'clock in the morning?
I get up about 6 minutes before I have to be there. so if I'm supposed to be there at 5:30, I'm rolling out of bed about 5:24. Yep. I'm like, "Oh God."
Yep.
Yeah,
but that would mean that staying out late and being in a band.
You have to keep it to a minimum. Yeah, I mean, I still do it, but you have to keep it to a minimum.
Right.
But that being said, I'm actually very eager to get an opportunity to get back into the scene and play some more drums.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, me too. I have to say, for the first time ever the other day, because you mentioned I've been in radio for a while, for the first time ever, just the other day, a girl came up to me at a karaoke night and said that she listened to me on the radio when she was in high school. And that broke my heart. It was one of the meanest things anybody's ever said to me. Because I realized that I've been in radio long enough for someone to have listened to me while they're in high school and now be at the bar.
But that doesn't
Granted,
take
she's
long.
Like 21 or 22.
Yeah, it's only like a 10-year span of time.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
As you get older,
but it did
10
make
years
my blood run cold.
Like,
yeah, no, yeah. It's true. Yeah, the acceleration of time. But I was like, in high school?
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, it gets worse.
Yeah. But, it's all downhill, baby. Get ready for the downhill ride of your life.
So you got into music kind of because it was there.
Yeah. Oh,
it was in the house. Your brother played. You ended up discovering you could play.
Yeah.
Where did you go from there? What was your biggest influences?
And a little background on that, if you don't mind. I gotta give some love to my family because I grew up in this world where just music was everything to my whole family.
Okay,
like my dad played, my grandmother played. Like my grandmother, my grandmother sat down at the piano just Thursday at Thanksgiving. I hadn't heard her play in a while, and she's 87 and still can really play piano.
Rock and roll on the piano.
Oh, yeah. And, so I just grew up in this world where,
You grew up in a very musical household.
Yeah,
You didn't have one uncle that played guitar. Your entire family played.
Yeah, and both my uncles, my dad's brothers, are both very talented players. My Uncle Danny, back when I used to rent an apartment from him, and I used to go over to his place, and he played banjo. I mean, he played a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. He played pretty much anything with strings, and he had played drums for a long time, 1.2, and helped encourage me when I started actually taking drumming more seriously. Fun fact, he had played in a band with Sam Bush early on, before Newgrass Revival.
My uncle was in that band.
Really?
In high school?
Yeah. Yeah, it was in that time. They played talent shows and whatever else, yeah.
What's his name?
Danny Morgan.
Huh. I'd have to ask him, but...
Yeah. I got to be
What was the name of the band, though?
I don't remember, honestly, off the top of my head.
He told me recently, and now I've already forgotten.
I forget it, too, yeah. Because, I mean, my uncle...
But it wasn't Newgrass Revival.
It wasn't. It was before Newgrass Revival.
It was before Newgrass Revival.
It is. Yeah.
My uncle, Tom Vertrees, was the bass player of that band.
That's crazy.
Or one of Sam's bands.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah,
he
probably played
one.
With a lot of different people. No, the type with the type of
I can't
with the type of
the name of the damn band.
Yeah,
it'll come to me as we talk.
I got to be
but
there.
That's pretty cool. We it might was, have a connection.
We might, yeah.
That's
but
pretty
I got
neat.
To be there for when Sam Bush and my Uncle Danny saw each other for the first time in like 20 years,
yeah.
And that was a pretty cool moment, you know. But anywho, and I used to drag the guitar out at Danny's and like almost have to force him to play banjo because he'd be like, I don't want to play, and I'd be like, no, come on, man, like let's strum a little, let's pick
yeah.
a little, and I would just, you know, and I would just be like, okay, I'm gonna do a chord progression, and you just go, man, and he would and would just be astonishing.
Isn't
but you
funny?
Had to like coerce
yeah.
him into it, you know, as he got older.
That's funny, man. That's exactly like my uncle.
Yeah,
it's still there. He's still
oh,
got
absolutely,
it
yeah.
but he hardly ever plays.
Yeah, oh yeah. Danny'd be like, oh, I'm gonna make my fingers hurt,
yeah.
I don't know. You know, but anyways, so I grew up thinking that everybody was this way.
Right.
And I remember it wasn't until I got a little older into like high school that I started to realize, because I ran only with friends that cared about music,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we all shared that common passion. And then as I got older, I realized, oh, not everybody's raised where music is just always playing in the home.
Right.
Not everybody's raised with parents that put
it's,
them in the car and
odd.
Say, like, this song just came out, it's amazing, or
yeah.
here's some classics that are amazing and some of the best songs I've ever heard. You know, like, and, you know, I don't mean to wax poetic. People who know me have heard this story a bunch of times. I do like to tell it. But I think about this all the time because my dad and his brothers were like, they built houses. They you know, fixed cars. They, you know, on the weekend were elbow deep in grease every time, you know. But they were guys who were passionate about books and movies
mm-hmm.
and music. And I remember like watching a commercial with them one time and there was a Pink Floyd Greatest Hits that had just came out . And I remember my dad and my uncle scoffing at it, like, Pink Floyd Greatest Hits. You can't listen to Pink Floyd and the Greatest Hits. You got to listen to the albums.
That's
and
true.
And I was a kid. I was, you know, 7 at the time or something. So I'm still forming my opinions of the way the world works. And I thought, this is what a man does. A man fixes things, he builds things, and he also argues about art, you know. So that's how I thought it worked.
That's
and,
cool.
Yeah, so I was really and again, I thought that's how it was
mm-hmm.
then, and only as I got older did I realize not everybody was so fortunate.
Mm.
So, so then it went from there, and I had my various phases that you have to go through as you grow up loving music, and I started going to local music. Have you ever interviewed Josh Hines?
I did. He was one of my first interviews.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
He could testify that I have been part of the Bollinger music scene for my entire life.
I think he mentioned your name, if I'm not mistaken. But
yeah, because I started going and seeing them play when I was literally 12.
And we're talking about Pimp Slap, right?
Yes. Well, Pimp Slap and the Italian Stallions and...
The Commander.
And yeah, oh, Commander, of course. But there was another band. There was another band in there, too. Pen 15.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Infamous
oh, yes.
Pen 15.
Oh, yes. The legend lives on.
But yeah, I've seen photos of you in the audience
child.
At these shows, and you are literally a child. You're like
oh, yeah.
10, 12 years old.
I have a distinct memory of lying to my dad at 13 years old to go to a Pimp Slap show about where I was, and then he figured out where I was and came and literally came in the mosh pit, which I say mosh pit, it's like 7 people jumping around at the Happy Inn. Let's not oversell it. But and
well,
he came
yeah.
in and grabbed me, and I felt the hand on my shoulder thinking, this is somebody who's, like, going to mess with me,
right.
like, you know, we're moshing, whatever. And I turn, and it's my dad. And he is, like, dragging me out of this show because I had lied to him and
wow.
didn't tell him where I was going. Because I don't remember what I was supposed to be doing that day, but I lied so I could go to the show.
You weren't supposed to be at the show.
Yeah, and I was 13 years old, and that's, like, that's where I was at that time, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've just been, you know, going
so,
and seeing music.
As yeah, as a musician, as a fan... You did play in bands, you did do some things,
sure.
But you also were going out to see bands.
Oh, all the time, yeah.
And what path did you go down? Like you said, you've played in a few bands and whatnot. You're just not very active as of today,
unfortunately. Yeah,
but you have been.
Yeah.
So what else did you do prior to filling in for your brother? You said you were about 13.
Oh, yeah. I was a kid at that time, yeah.
What came of that? Like, what did you do? What's
really
the timeline of your,
yeah, I
your
guess
band thing?
There's, I mean, nothing of any note, we'll say that. It
well,
was,
some
it
people was, listening might remember.
Yeah.
But if
well,
you were in
were...
bands that played out, That's the point of this podcast, is what were the names of these bands and where did you play?
Joint Stock Company was another band that I played in. This is so embarrassing to say all these band names. Yeah,
it's part of it.
But yeah, and then Martyred Center, which I mentioned, which we played a lot on campus. Okay. I remember, you know, big shows at Rock the Vote and different things like that.
Did you play at night class at all?
You know what's funny is I never did play night class.
Okay, I'm still trying to figure out.
But now I went to night class.
When did night class die?
Night class died probably about, honestly, about 2004, maybe.
Oh, it was.
It was pretty early.
Okay.
Well, they had a resurgence when they, like, rebooted what night class was, but it wasn't the same.
They did.
There was like
I'm trying to remember when the building was transformed and night class was completely wiped out and the bookstore went in.
Well, that was a few years later. So, like, there was a remodel that was done. The old night class, as we knew it and loved it, where, like, there was a Revolution booth and stuff down there.
Really?
That went up to, like, 2003, 2004, about that time.
Wow.
If even that late. Because, I mean, I was going at that same time that I was, like, going to Pimp Slap shows at 13 and 14. But I'd go to night class and watch these hardcore bands. Or do you remember Laid to Rest? That was a metal band here in the area.
I remember the name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would go see them play at night class and stuff. But then they remodeled it and the vibe changed a little and it wasn't booking as high quality of shows anymore. Uh-huh. And that seemed to, at least from as I recall it, didn't seem to last very long at all.
Probably not.
And then it just totally disappeared. And then it was a little, because they had it was when the subway was down there and all that. And then.
Well, I spent a lot of time in the 90s there.
Yeah.
So that's my memory.
Yeah.
But I've seen like pictures and video of bands that played there in the 80s.
Yeah.
So I've just kind of.
And there's
ever
always
since
these legends
this,
you hear about, like, oh, that band before they blew up, they played night class.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but I always hear about night class. People talk about being underage. That was one of the main underage places you could play was night class, and it was on campus, which was cool. But I don't know when it shut down and completely went away, because I may have not been living here at the time or knew about it.
So I would say that the glory era of night class, as I recall it, was 2003-2004.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated high school in 05 and then went to Western then, and I remember that there were like a handful of shows maybe in that time. Mm-hmm. But I'd say by 2006 it was done.
Done.
Yeah.
And then the building got changed and remodeled and all that stuff. It's sad.
It is sad.
That was a very important place.
That's one of those musical shrines for us.
That was a very important place, especially to me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I played there. I cut my teeth there as a teenager, learning to be in a band and all that stuff. But I didn't know if you were in bands that happened to have played.
Unfortunately,
there,
not. That would have been a great rite of passage for being part of this scene if I had played. I went to a lot of shows there. I saw a lot of hardcore bands. Like, so think about the glory era of hardcore being, you know,
the 2000s.
The early 2000s, 2001, 2002. And I was going to a lot of shows there then, you know, when it really was like the Breakdowns, the Swoop Bangs, like all of that, you know, and you know, singers that sound like they really want to fight. You know, guys spraying that, what do you call it, like an Entertainer's Secret on their throats so they could just blow out their voices and not feel it. And that was like my first exposure to that kind of thing.
Okay.
To that kind of show, because I had only been seeing, you know, I had gone through a major ska phase, and Pimp Slap was a big part of that, of course.
Right.
How delighted I was, like, when I first got into, you know, Less Than Jake and Real Big Fish and the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, that all of a sudden there was, oh, there's ska bands here in town. And you're like, oh, what? Like, you know.
I could go see this in person.
Yeah, oh, man. And it was great.
So what were you
by the way, we won't get into this for a different podcast, but I still defend ska and I'll fight for it to this day. Don't you talk trash.
I have no beef with ska. Ska reminds me of the Roaring Twenties. Like big band music from the 20s and 30s. Like, that's what it reminds me of. It's just a modern version of that.
For sure, and it has a very long
lineage. I love horn sections. I think a driving force rhythm section, especially a phenomenal drummer with a horn section, you can't really go wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, you know, obviously I'm a big fan of the band Chicago and their early albums, you know, and that's, I mean, that horn section makes them.
Yeah.
That is what
they absolutely
are.
But what were you doing in music as a drummer between high school and college?
Those bands that I mentioned. That was when Martyred Sinner was playing out mm-hmm. quite a bit. And then Red River George, I did a few shows with them.
I remember that name because it was very clever.
Yeah.
Around here, everybody goes to Red River
George. Yeah, we played Tid Balls and different things. And, of course, I have – that's a major – this sounds so stupid, but one of those milestones that you're glad you did hit, even if I never played in another show or even if I never played another show.
You played there when it first opened.
I played Tid Balls. I did that. You know, I played Campus. I did, you know, Java City. Remember when Java City used to have shows all the time on Campus? I played there. You know, did a lot of those types of things that, you know, were like the things that bands I was going and seeing were doing, and I thought, this is what you have to do to be a part of the scene, and we were doing those things, so I'm proud of that.
So did anything you ever do band-wise ever put out anything?
Oh, yeah. So and I have those buried away where no one can ever hear them except for me.
You're one of those.
Yeah.
You're going to sit on it so nobody can hear it.
I'll tell you what would be fun, and I should do this for nothing else than this podcast. You'd be shocked because I never throw away anything, and I'm a meticulously organized person.
That's not bad.
My collection of local music CDs and tapes is vast. It's vast.
That sounds very impressive right off the bat.
It is. I have so many random things that you'd be shocked that I still have because you know, like back when it was the old, you know, when bands would be just making a CDR and like drawing their own covers, you know, and things like that in just the little plastic foldable cases. I mean, I never lost or threw away any of them.
That's good because a lot of them might have.
Oh, yeah.
And so it would be a nice thing to make sure they have that.
We should dig that out and do a little.
See, a lot of what I love about Josh Hines, which I've mentioned this in a few episodes.
He's so cataloged.
He's cataloged, but he's putting it out.
Yeah.
So anything he's done or he's been a part of, he's found a way to upload it online, and you can listen to it.
And
now,
he kept meticulous notes at the time.
Yeah.
Like when those Pimp Slap releases he's done recently, which I'm very grateful for, and I was like, man, you better put me on the list to get copies of all these things.
Yeah.
And fortunately he did. But there's lists of all the shows that they played, like, you know, dates and mm-hmm. everything, well, who they played with.
Right.
And I was like, how smart of you to do this? Because most people in high school or, you know, fresh out of high school in their early 20s, were not this organized and dedicated to, like, preserving the legacy and the memory of those times.
Well, that's the difference between the hard work ethic of a band leader and someone that just thinks it's a fun hobby and doesn't care to own anything or keep anything, you know?
Yeah.
Which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just some people care and some people don't care as much, but it's still one unit, you know, everybody's in it for the same reason, and that's to play and do shows and have a good time.
Totally. Like Trey Bartley, my roommate and best friend, so he's played in so many bands.
Yes, he has. His name's been brought up many times in the Sound Atlas.
Oh, I'm sure.
So
I'm
he
sure.
needs to do one.
Yeah, oh, good luck on that. He's the kind of guy who does not like to talk about himself.
Well, that's fine.
But
you can talk about him.
I'll put in a good word for it. And
he's here in spirit.
He is here in spirit, yeah. Because I'm a better historian of his career than he is. But I'll put in a good word for your podcast and see if I can convince him to do it.
Well, it's not mine. It's Russell's.
Well, I'm sorry. This podcast.
This podcast.
But anyways, so... And, like, he doesn't keep things. So he has almost nothing from his various bands over the years. He has a few Ghost Effects releases or Rainbow Kitty Kitty releases or Anthologies releases. But I have all those things, and I have posters, and I have shirts, and all this stuff that I still have not gotten rid of and won't get rid of. And he gets, like, a big kick out of it if I pull something out, and I'm like, check this out. You know, and he's like, what? Like, you know, because even at the time, I think he didn't take it seriously that I'd be like, I want that. He'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm sure you're going to wear that CD out. And I'd be like, well, maybe not, but it'll be in my, my library.
That's important.
Yeah.
That's really important.
So
one day the Kentucky Museum might want to show off your exhibit of local music.
Yeah, man. So so that was – oh, I have to say this too. For me as a show goer, I was going to Pimp Slap shows again at 13, and they found out that I was this 13-year-old kid at their shows, and then they were like, okay, you get into all of our shows for free until you turn 14. but then, of course, once I turned 14, it was like, well – you're 13 part two, so you still get in for free. And this continued for several years, actually. Did you know they used to charge $3.30 to get into their shows because they were obsessed with MU 330?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, $3.30.
Is this with the Happy Inn?
Oh, yeah, that was at the Happy Inn, or there was like a barn they used to play. I think Lee Uber's family owned or something like that.
Oh, my God.
A lot of different places around town. But,
that's crazy.
Of course, you know Jeremy Pryor, who I'm sure has come up a lot in this. He played in that and everything else. So, and saw him play in more bands than I could ever count as well. So.
Yeah. That's true.
So the that's sort of, as far as my personal playing out history, that's really the full extent of it, that it went up to that point, and I guess the Red River George thing happened 2012, 2013, in that kind of region, and then that's really the last time I was playing out actively, and I've jammed with people, I've done little things here and there.
But you just haven't,
but I haven't
dedicated full time to doing
it. Work took over my life at that point. I think it does for a lot of people, but radio is a passion project for sure.
Well, let's get to that. You go to Western.
Yeah.
I've heard the commercial where you are the one helping promote Western's broadcasting department.
Yeah.
You're the one on the radio that says, hey, I went to Western's radio school and now I'm a DJ on a radio station, and that's you.
Yep, that's
and
me.
I thought that was a very cool commercial to hear.
I never even actually heard the final edit of
I've
that.
Heard
I remember
it
recording
multiple
it,
times. Yeah, I've heard funny. It multiple times. And but you and I have to say this in an odd way because I didn't attend Western.
Yeah.
I'm just a fan of Revolution 91.7.
Very great.
When it came on the air in 1988, I caught wind of it, but I didn't know much about it. I just, like, you always hear about college radio,
using
quotation marks. And when I think of college radio in that point of time, you think of REM.
Oh,
you think of U2. You think of certain bands
the
that just fit that category, you know. And around 1990, 91, I started listening to it all the time, and my mind opened up to music that
world.
I never knew existed, because I was from the MTV generation or whatever, the top 40 stations or classic rock stations, which at that point wouldn't have been classic rock stations, just rock stations.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
they're playing what's popular, what's hits, what's out there. They're playing new rock is playing stuff that I've never heard.
Yeah.
You know, this is where I discovered Ween and Primus and all these bands that I just didn't know anything about.
And this is, of course, pre the internet being as widespread as it is now. So this was such a great way to keep your finger on the pulse.
It was the old-fashioned way of discovering music.
Yeah.
Of, you always hear the stories about people in the 60s and 50s turning the knobs on the AM and on a good night, you could pick up a station in Chicago, you know, and they play all this great blues music that you just don't know anything about. You hear all those kinds of stories. That's my story.
Yeah.
You had to be in within the city limits of Bowling Green just to simply get it, to pick it up on a car. So I'd, you know, beg friends to, like, come to the mall so we could drive around and listen to it. But I went on the radio. I went on New Rock 92 in late 1992.
Oh, wow.
So Marijuana Catfish was one of the first local bands to get played on New Rock 92, which it went by
what
that
a band
title
name.
For,
I was joking about
great,
my band name.
It's a great
that's,
band.
Yeah, that's classic.
But that went on. That radio station's been on the air since 1988.
Yeah.
I went on it in 92, and then that changed to Revolution 91.7. At some point around 2000, I believe. Is that right?
I think.
Somewhere
tough
in there, because
be sure.
Obviously... Because
I don't really remember it being New Rock, TBH.
Right. I think the name New Rock 92 probably died off around late 90s, early 2000.
Yeah.
But you are an alumni of Revolution 91.7.
Yeah.
I look at you and so many other people that I know that have been DJs on that station, and I hope you, which I know you know, but I don't think some of them know. They went and did it. It was something to do, right?
Yeah.
So many people have hosted that local show, you know, stuff, and so many people have come from that radio
station.
That's true.
That almost is a rite of passage in its own
way.
Yeah.
It's extraordinarily important to this music scene.
Yeah.
And I look at you and all the DJs that I've met – have come from that radio station as extraordinarily important people in this music scene. But your kids, when you're up there, you're in college.
Yeah.
You don't think about the fact that the someone impact. 15 years older than you that's working a deadbeat job, third shift at a store, has the radio on Revolution at 3 o'clock in the morning, listening to it because those songs mean something. That music means something. And then, of course, the local show meant a lot to me because if I'm on it, that's cool. If I'm a fan, I was discovering bands. Because there is a slight difference between the bands that go to the college radio station to get on there thinking, well, that's our audience.
Yeah.
And then there's the radio stations that are the other types of music. But some bands don't go to those stations.
Yeah.
They feel like that's not their audience.
Right.
But to me, it's one big local scene.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, we do what we can to help out the local music scene.
You do.
I'd always like to do more, but we, you know, we definitely like being involved.
Yeah. But you come from Revolution.
Yeah.
You're almost like a spokesman for it because of that commercial, which I hear it all the time. It's really fun. And I just want to say, as an outsider looking at you as a fan, I was a fan of you as a DJ.
And yeah, I remember that very early on in our first interactions that you said that. And that, of course, obviously that means a lot. You know, because you're in a booth talking to nobody, it feels like a lot of the time. And then you don't get a lot of feedback, you know, sometimes you can feel like, is anybody paying attention?
Out of nowhere, you realize that you made an actual impact on it. So what was it like for you to be up there? Which I know it's a class. It's a course.
Sure.
There's a lot of the business aspect. There's a lot of the schooling aspect of it. But when you got to go in there and flip that switch and turn on those microphones and play music that you wanted to play and be interactive with the airwaves, what was that like for you?
Man, it was really awesome. It was funny because, well, first off, I got to ask, because 92, did you go to school with Marjorie Yamber? Were you part of the program when she was?
I didn't go to Western.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
I was in high school.
I forget. You're right.
I was in high school, and my band, you said that. I was like 15, and we got to go.
But when
on
your
the
band
radio.
Was going up there and stuff, do you ever remember her? Did you ever know her, Marjorie Yamber?
I'd have to see a picture or something. Okay. But the odds are pretty good
because she was a Western student and involved with the station then, and then she ended up being the person who was in charge of the radio station when I was there, and she was the person who came into my life that helped usher me into a career in radio. And so if I had to cite a name as being a big influence on that, it would be her, because I was taking radio classes and toying with the idea, but I feel like I thought it was such a pipe dream. I feel like I've always had the curse of being a little too pragmatic at times and thinking, this could be a side hobby, this could be a fun thing, but don't put all your eggs in the basket of, I'm going to be a radio DJ. Just like I wish I had done that more with being a musician. I wish I had put more eggs in that basket, but you also think like, oh, you can't just hope you're going to be a rock star and it's just, true. You know, you can't just only do that, whatever. Anyways.
See, I'm like that. I wish I'd gone the other route.
Yeah.
I wish I had gone to school to be a radio DJ. Yeah. Like, I love it. Yeah. Doing this is about as close as I've ever gotten.
Yeah.
But I appear on the local shows with my bands and stuff, and it's so natural.
Yeah.
I love it. And the other guys in the bands are usually, like, timid and scared, and they're like, I've never been on the radio before. And I'm like, oh, man, just sit back and just be yourself. Just don't cuss.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You can't say fuck.
Be yourself, but yeah, but don't use those words we don't say.
But it's, to me, it's kind of like the calling I missed. So when I meet you and I meet other guys and girls that are DJs, I look at you all like Johnny Fever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the Wolfman. Like, to me, you are important.
Yeah.
Because that's how music is heard. That's how lives are transformed. Yeah. That's how musicians are inspired.
Yeah.
It shapes your life. It shapes your childhood, you know?
Absolutely.
It's an important thing. So what was it like for you to get into?
Of course, there's that. You're mad with power at first. I mean, you think like, I mean, especially at 18, 19 years old, you think, I'm gonna change the world. I'm going to take on the whole world with my expertise and my dedication to the to the passion of this craft, and you know, I'm gonna blow everybody's minds all the music that I put out there. And then you come back down to earth a little bit, and you realize you have to work within the existing framework of the system a little. You know, you have to play by rules that you didn't make, just like right. you do in any other profession.
True.
And you have to, but you can still make a big difference within that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a friend who I'll omit her name for the sake of this, but she became, I think, kind of cynical towards radio when she went from Revolution to the real world, and started to feel very frustrated with, like, oh man, you really do have to do as you're told still to an extent, and things like that. And I think it jaded her a bit, and I'm like, well, yeah, but you can still do a lot, and you can still make an impact, and you can still slant the playlists in your music the way you want and try to turn people on new music. You know, I couldn't imagine my life at this point without playing new music for a living.
Right.
You know, and trying to introduce people to something that they might love.
Mm-hmm.
Because what better feeling than to have somebody tell you, like, man, when you played that and I heard that for the first time, I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever heard. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's such a great feeling. And, of course, I had a lot of that. I was so determined, and I never did it. I was so determined to get to host Heavy Metal Pirate Ship. Do you remember that show?
I do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I thought I've got to take over.
That would have been absolutely perfect.
It didn't happen, unfortunately, because you know the guy who had it at the time, and I don't recall his name, but he was pretty attached to it.
Did you not do the local show? You didn't do Local Shots?
I didn't host Local Shots. Now I was on it, but I didn't host it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I never did, but I've appeared on it with bands.
Oh, of course.
But I never hosted it for any stint of time, which is also surprising. As connected to the local music scene as I was, it was surprising that timing never worked out or whatever for right. me to actually host it
mm-hmm.
for any period of time. So.
Man, I look at some of the people that have, and I feel like there should be a plaque honoring them.
It would be quite a display if you looked at the people who've hosted yeah. local shots throughout the years and what they're all doing now.
Too. Yeah.
Because a lot of them have gone on to
they have,
in
but
radio.
A lot of them are still fans of music,
oh,
fans
absolutely.
Of this music scene, and I just feel like, and I can honestly say this with pride, that any alumni of Revolution 91.7, in my eyes, is an important factor to this music scene being what it is.
Yeah,
because there are a lot of outlets we have. But without that younger connection to college age kids, and when I was in high school, that was the radio station to listen
oh, yeah.
to. There's just something about the importance to me of everyone that's come from that radio station.
Yeah.
Whether they pursued it or not, I hope they know that what they did while they were there and on the air made an impact.
Totally. I mean, I grew up listening to, do you remember Melissa Carey, a.k.a. Mary Jane,
yes.
I think was her name on
yes.
air? Oh, yeah. I grew up listening to her, was a big fan, got to be friends with her actually later on in
That's
life.
That's cool.
And she's a great person. Mm. And yeah, so things, and it was same for me. It was what me and all my high school friends were listening to if mm-hmm. we were listening to radio. We did listen to classic rock radio, of course, because anywhere I can hear some Thin Lizzy, I'll tune in. But we listened to a lot of that. I mean, and it was an event. We would go all pile in a car and go drive around and listen to Heavy Metal Pirate Ship or The Catacombs
yeah.
was another
Golly,
another
man.
Theme show running at that time.
I did, but you see.
Yeah.
You see now, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
How important Revolution is.
Yeah.
So it's really cool that you're a part of that.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah,
I appreciate
it's really
you.
Cool to have been a part of it and to know that you've helped shape and shift the music scene here.
I think
in
you
South
have.
And
it's
bit.
Not, even though you weren't maybe on Local Shots, you're putting music out there that local musicians might have been tapped into and opening their mind and maybe giving them inspiration unknowingly.
Yeah.
And you did that. So, on behalf of all those people that don't
Aww.
Know that, thank you.
Oh, Captain Dean, you're sweet.
So, as you were in college and doing the DJ thing and learning the craft of radio, you did put music down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, have you not picked it up since? Or, like you said earlier, you've jammed with people. You jam with friends, you do things, but you're more about going as a fan?
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah.
Okay.
Like, and I mean, I would, it's always like on my back burner to get back into it and play. And playing drums would be the most natural thing for me to get back into.
Hmm.
You know, whereas because I'm still pretty solid at it. It's a thing that is in demand. You know, that will be the thing that will be the easiest for me to slip back into the scene doing. And I would love to do that. And there's always somebody who's kind of like touching base with me, like, hey, you should play with us. And I want to. It's just finding the time and the lining up schedules, which, you know, if I ever get off the morning show.
You were in the afternoons.
I used to be, yeah.
And I used to listen to you all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I would get off work is when I would listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'm ever off the morning show, you can count on you'll see me back out doing this stuff again, because that's the only thing that really holds me back right now. And it's, you know, I underestimated how much of a shift in lifestyle it would be being on a morning show, which don't make that mistake if anybody's listening who's
I like you in the mornings, though.
Me
I think
too.
It's a
I love
fit.
The show.
I think you and Brooke are a good team.
That's the big thing, is that that the show is so good, I can understand and sort of... what's the word I'm looking for? I can justify the change in my lifestyle at least a bit, because the show is so good. And speaking of like impacting people's life, morning shows, specifically the format, is a lot more open than when you're hosting 90s at noon or you're doing an afternoon shift or whatever. It's a lot more open. You talk more about yourself and you talk more about pop culture. And
You're interacting a lot more with the community too, because that's the time
we do community interviews every morning.
You promote a lot of upcoming events.
Yeah, we talk about things going on in the community. Yeah. And, you know, very, very, very proud. You were talking earlier about people who are nervous on the radio. We do at least one community interview every day on the show, and you watch the full gamut of people who, like, radio is second nature, and they come in, I'm glad you asked. That's a great question. And what we're doing this Tuesday is... and then you have the opposite where you go, so tell us about this benefit coming up for blah, blah, blah. And they're like, it's at 7 p.m. And you're like, don't worry. You know, because they can be really charming people off the air. But anyway, so we're very proud to be able to be a part of that. And then we get to go out as a unit. Brooke and I will go places and appear at local community events and charities and things and try to really help out with it and be a part of it, which... Mm-hmm. I'm very proud. You know, I said I was born and raised here. I'm very proud to be a part of this
community.
Bro, I was
going to say, being a local and being born and raised here, that's got to have some cool meaning to you.
It really does, yeah. And it's funny because I had someone recently who is a friend, a strictly platonic friend, that she's married, but she's always looking for people to go to shows with, because her husband doesn't really go to shows. And she joked about it with me, and she's like, well, I want my husband to meet you and figure out you're not a weirdo. And I was like I feel that, I respect that, obviously. And I was like and it made me think about it, because I was like, I live my life in such a public way. If I was a weirdo, it would be pretty well documented, because everyone knows who I am. They know where you can find me. They know, everybody knows everything from the fact that my most hated pop band is Maroon 5 to the fact that I drink gin and tonics, you know. And my whole life is pretty public, and that feels good, because I'm like, I was born and raised in this community. Yeah. I don't want to hide things. I don't want to be a shady person. You know, my dad built the interior of the downtown courthouse. I mean, like, this community is in my blood.
Yeah.
So,
that's awesome.
I'm not ashamed of it at all. But so, yeah.
Well, then you needed to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't do a Bowling Green podcast without interviewing Bowling Green people.
Yeah, and... I'm very, very, very fortunate.
Before we wrap up the topic of your radio life, I'm curious about some dumb things.
Okay, please.
You need
I
to
love
shed
dumb
some
things.
Light. Please shed
Hit
some light.
Hit me with
on
dumb
this.
Things.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, you are with Woohoo.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo is part of the, I'm going to say,
Forever Communications.
Forever Communications. Thank you. You have Willie.
Yeah.
Which is
Willie 94.1.
Yeah, this is a classic country station.
Yeah.
With a little bit of 80s and 90s thrown in.
Yeah, there's and if you ask my opinion, which you didn't, but I wish they played.
I was going to.
I wish they played a little less of the modern. Because when I listened to that classic country.
When it first came on, it was seemed like it was very old.
It was very old. And they, now they'll toss in a Brad Paisley occasionally, and I'm like,
do you know that the day Merle Haggard died, Willie was the only radio station that played Merle Haggard?
I believe that.
I was absolutely standing and applauding because of that. I was like, that says something.
I was brokenhearted that day. Not to get off on a tangent about it, but I'm just saying.
That speaks volumes about a radio station that actually gives a crap about what it's doing.
We're locally owned and operated too. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, I dog sit for the COO of the company. So, you know, that's really great. And we get more play in our playlists and our daily operations than someone who's owned by a major corporation like iHeart would.
True. You also have the Beaver. 96.7,
baby. Which big money Beaver.
Yeah, big slap of the Beaver tail.
That's right.
You guys, that station's been in this town for as long as I can remember.
That's an institution, yeah.
I mean, how's that go back? To the 80s, at least?
Oh, way further than that.
Is it really?
Scooter Davis was with that station since the 70s.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have known about it.
No, totally, yeah, yeah, yeah. That goes what? Yeah, like two of their staff have been with the station for 30 years.
Damn.
And then, you know, one of the other people who's on there he was with the station a long time ago, and he's back now, and blah, blah. So that's really like an institution. I mean, you know, there were people who lived their entire lives listening to Scooter and Mila in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You couldn't go into a convenience store in this town without hearing Scooter and Mila in the morning.
Yeah, and I was fortunate enough, you know, Scooter's passed on now, but I was fortunate enough he was one of the people that helped indoctrinate me into the world of radio and helped train me, and I got to spend quite a bit of time with him in the early times when I was still like absorbing everything like a sponge, and I wasn't quite as stubborn as I've become now and headstrong about the way that radio should be done. But he would teach me, one of his biggest mantras was always just, it has to be real. You know, it has to be real. You can't be fake. People don't buy it.
Yep.
They sniff it out, and they, you know, in radio, they're going to turn the channel.
Yeah, you can tell when it's pre-recorded.
Yeah.
I can. Yeah, I don't know. Some people can't. Some people may not care, but, you know.
So that's a big thing for me, and I hear people say that they feel like I'm the same guy on the radio that I am in person, and that's good. You want that, because then they feel like they know you, and they don't feel like you're an announcer who's letting you know what's going on. Like,
yep.
So, anyways, what were you going
to
ask, though?
I was getting to the point of being that you're you've got that station, which is, like you said, an institution. You are at a station, Woohoo 107, which came out of the ashes of G107.
That's right, yeah.
And which the Gator in later years.
Oh, I was a big Gator listener as a kid.
Well, I mean, that was an interesting station because it was kind of like the VH1 of radio.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%.
It was cool, and they had cool stuff, but then they'd play the bland pop elevator music as well, but it was a typical 80s radio station.
Oh yeah, I think that was very typical of radio at the
time. But it was friendly enough to be in the dentist office and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, not quite as hot as a station like you couldn't play 101 to beat jams in your dentist office.
But that is as a local, I would think that has to be somewhat of some sort of sense of pride in
you. Absolutely. There's a legacy there.
Yeah, there's a legacy there, and you're kind of carrying that torch of coming from that. But Woohoo 107 has been Woohoo for what? Over a decade at this point.
15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to tell you this. This is a insider secret.
Let's tell everybody.
Yeah. We're also, this is not public news yet, but we are launching another classic station from here in the area that you're familiar with. We're relaunching.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember when WBGN was a rock station?
I don't.
Okay. That's the thing.
Depends on what year that was, but
that would have been really before our time.
Okay.
But it's a thing that people always remember back when 1340 AM, WBGN, which is now also simulcast on 107.9 FM.
Okay.
It was a rock station. People always talk about it. And so
that's crazy.
Yeah. People, all the time still. That's where I started. Did you know that I started at Forever Communications? Did you know that I started in sports talk?
No, I didn't know
that's a fun fact of my background there. I started in sports talk.
Stats.
Yeah. And I loved it. But, of course, it was just an avenue to get to the FMs,
of
the music side of things. But,
well, you earned your way.
People all the time would call and go, like, I remember when BGN was the best rock station in town, man. And like, and so, yeah, be on the lookout for that.
That's cool.
That's on the horizon. And that's cool because what we've done is we contacted a lot of the jocks that used to be with the station. And we're getting testimonials from them and and audio and stuff. So we're going to have a little legacy there.
Good.
All those guys that are still around.
And you're going to host the local show, right?
I hope.
Make it happen.
I'll be in somebody's ear and make it happen.
Okay, here's the stupid question I was going to ask you.
Please.
I've always wanted to know this, and I know there's fact and truth to this.
Okay.
But you can help me without getting in trouble.
Okay. Which is important.
It's very important.
My opinions do not reflect those of Forever Communications.
Okay, I have this agonizing question I've had for years, and I'm hoping you can at least shed light on it. Woohoo 107 seems to play Kelly Clarkson every hour on the hour for a decade. Mm-hmm. Ever since she won American Idol.
That's very true.
I swear, I cannot turn on Woohoo without hearing Kelly Clarkson. So, can you shed some light on that for me? Because I'll hear Kelly Clarkson's song from 7 years ago, but I'm tuning in to hear the new Taylor Swift.
Sure.
So, what's up with that?
Well, man, two things. One is, first and foremost, she's the poster child for our format.
Really?
Hot Adult Contemporary is the technical format of Woohoo, which means it's a mix, which, you know, we're all hit Woohoo 107, the best mix. It's a mix of things, so it has to be things that appeal to a wide demographic. It's not just the hottest pop. It's not urban. It's not sleepier formats that you would have.
Right. Again, it's kind of going back to the Gator days.
Yeah, and so she is... She tests well with such a wide range of audiences.
Hmm.
And has been actually shockingly consistent in the past 10 years.
That's true.
As weird as
that
is,
being
to
a
say,
judge on The Voice kind of helped keep her in the spotlight.
Yeah,
too.
And now she has the talk show and everything
too.
And
well, Since You've Been Gone is the best.
That's one of the best pop songs ever recorded.
Ever.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Fight me if you disagree.
I will fight with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
me and Captain
Nate
got
you.
But so that would be the biggest part of it is that she is just such. For, like, people that are our target demographic, she tests very well.
That's crazy.
I've seen her live. She puts on a great show. I defend Kelly Clarkson.
I have no beef with her.
No, I know you don't. I know you're not saying
why
that, but why we play
so much.
But that's the big thing. And she's one of these people that her popularity is almost sort of under the radar. Like, I know that sounds stupid for a major pop star.
No, I get it.
But we don't know people that are like, you don't know somebody that like lives and breathes by Kelly Clarkson. Like, they're not dudes down at the show with like big Kelly Clarkson tattoos. Like, you
there
know,
should
like,
be.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah. The lyrics of Since You've Been Gone tattooed in a banner around your arm. But,
absolutely.
So,
I like that we're talking about Kelly Clarkson with suicidal tendencies blasting.
Yeah,
on
you
the
know
stage.
We're doing the right thing. Exactly. But it's like, you know, and the other person that is definitely in that niche for us is Pink. You're going to hear a lot of Pink on Woohoo, too.
I do hear a lot of Pink.
Yeah. And what's really weird about Pink is when you look at her career, she has been super consistent, too. When I was hosting the 90s at Noon, I remember that the only act I was ever in danger of playing in the 90s at Noon and then also playing immediately after, and I had to adjust playlists because
Pink.
Of it, was Pink. Because she's the only person
that
has been consistently, and at least in the pop realm, making hits since the late 90s.
That's true.
And has and is still making huge songs.
To this day.
To this day. I mean, she just had a new song that came out.
That's
and so those people test very well with women, which we do target women 18 to 35. Tests well with moms. Moms aren't upset if their kids love Kelly Clarkson or Pink. You know, because there's some strong messages there. It's not like some of the things that get played that you might, if your kid was singing along to it, you might be
suicidal
like,
tendencies.
Suicidal tendencies if your kid's singing.
All they wanted was a Pepsi.
Yeah, and all Black Flag's trying to do is have a TV party. I don't know why people are hating.
I thought that.
But anyways, so yeah.
Okay.
That's my answer on that.
That answers my question.
Yeah.
I never would have thought it was a demographic test thing.
It's
like,
not.
I just thought maybe
somebody in the building is a huge Kelly Clarkson
either
fan.
Loved Kelly Clarkson or you got that many requests to play play Kelly Clarkson.
People do love her songs. We do get requests for them. But I think we play it enough that there's no need to request it. Just wait a little while. But no, actually, the person who programs the music, I think I can say again safely, Brooke programs the music, and she's not. She's neither a Kelly Clarkson fan nor a detractor. I think she's very in
just
the middle.
Doing her job.
Just doing her job. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Brooke, you do a great job. I've been listening to. I met Brooke years ago.
Yeah.
I was a manager of a store, and Woohoo came to do a remote on location for the grand opening, and Brooke was there.
Yeah.
And I got to talk to her and interview on the radio and everything. And I was off the air. I was like, you know, because people look at me and immediately like, oh, that's a metal guy, punk guy, and I'm like, I love Taylor Swift.
No, dude, totally. And it's funny because I do want to say that without getting too into it, because again, for a different podcast, but people always assume, knowing me, they're like, you must hate all the music you guys play, and I'm like, no, there's great music.
No,
in every
and we've
format.
Had this conversation before, because I came up to you one day and was like, I listen to Woohoo all the time, and you know, it just shocks people, I guess. But I think that's the ones that are tunnel vision about music too.
Absolutely.
They think one way, they listen to certain stuff and all that stuff. But to go on that note,
please,
you are quite the metalhead.
Oh yeah, very much so. If there's a metal band here in town, I cannot wait. Bahargum that just played their first Bowling Green show, and I specifically did not book any other gigs that night or anything, so I could make, because it was on a Saturday night, and Saturdays are big for weddings. And I specifically went out of my way to be like, no, I will do nothing else other than go watch Bowling Green's first extreme metal band in a long time.
But all on top, off of the local note, though, I mean, you're diehard. I mean, you're wearing an Alice Cooper shirt right now, but you're a hardcore Iron Maiden,
Judas Priest,
the you know, British
Slayer.
Metal. Yeah,
yeah. The British
thrash metal,
time.
All that stuff.
Power metal.
You're
just bought the new
fan.
Blind Guardian album. Yeah. Very excited about it.
You're a mega fan of just music in general.
Yeah.
Which is a perfect reason of why you are where you are. It's not what the station format is. It's the fact that you're in music.
Yeah.
And because you're a music fan.
Oh, totally. Like,
so it makes sense to me that to come from Revolution, to work at Woohoo, to have started at the AM sport thing, even though it's still radio, but you're an all-around music fan.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it just makes sense to me that you're doing what you're supposed to do.
I completely agree. I think if I wasn't working in music, I'd lose my mind entirely because, you know, and it's been a
You'd work here at Mellow Matt's Music.
It's pretty much my only other option, yeah. But Matt's already had me as an employee once, and I don't think he'd want to have me again some years ago.
It's a redo.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm better now. I promise. I'm not so lazy.
Let's get back to the music topic real quick before we do wrap this up. What, locally speaking, and I know you've already covered what you grew up on. You've mentioned the bands you got to witness growing up because of being friends with Josh Hines and witnessing those bands. On a local music topic, who are you a fan of, past and present, and what really does it for you in this music scene, like, as a fan?
Man, there's a lot. There's a lot that can be said. Of course, it has to be said, and I'm sure that this is a name that has been said maybe more than almost any other on your podcast. would be 00 the Rabbit, of course.
That name doesn't actually get mentioned a lot.
That's a shame.
But Russell Brooks is a brilliant genius. You and I both recently... Were you there? I don't know if I saw
I was,
you
No, I wasn't able to
you
be there because
there.
I was working a gig that night.
You were.
It was a Saturday night.
I did run into you at Tidballs recently, though, but it was a different show.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I said,
it was a Saturday night. And I
caught 00 the Rabbit's last show, and it was absolutely fantastic.
I bet it was.
It was great.
One of my favorite memories ever of a local show was New Year's Eve, and I'm going to say maybe 2011, 2012, in that region.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it was New Year's Eve, and 00 the Rabbit was playing, and, you know, John Tidball poured the champagne shots for everybody, and we all did the countdown there, and, you know, at midnight, we all cheered, and then 00 the Rabbit kicked in another song. And I remember that being one of the nights of my life where I felt like I was just floating. Like, I was in the perfect magic place that I was supposed to be in.
Wow.
You know, those nights were so magical that I'll never forget exactly how they felt.
That's cool.
So that's big for me. As far as right now, highly recommend Bahargum. We just talked about them. Mm-hmm. And of course, that features people that have been staples of the Bowling Green music scene for a lot of years, including Josh Hines and Nick Stewart, Stewie. He is. It's so funny. I've seen him in so many bands over the years too, but I've never seen him be a front man.
Right.
Like, he is just a vocalist in this band and is killing it.
So he seems really comfortable.
He does. Like, oddly comfortable. You know, for someone who I was seeing him play his second or third show. I mean, he plays with Peter the Freshman, of course, the 90s cover band, and he sings some songs with them, and he's always comfortable with that. But to do a whole show as, like, an extreme metal front man,
which is a whole different
style
of
presentation. It's a whole different style of thing, yeah. And that was awesome. So I'm really excited about them right now.
And again, these are your friends. These are your peers. So you've got to be beaming with pride after all these years of watching them not put it down.
I want to say this to switch gears. Another local band right now. Have you talked with Chick Falcon on this?
Yes.
Okay.
I interviewed Chick fairly early into my hosting duties, but it was fairly early. But yeah, Chick Falcon does have a Sound Atlas episode.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to listen to that. And Chick is currently in a project called the Daddy Sisters, which has I kind of put a bug in his ear just the other day about being like, I mean, we could play a little drums, you know what I'm saying?
I got to play drums with the Daddy Sisters. Did you see that?
I don't know that I did. When was that?
It was in late summer of 2019. Jake couldn't play a show.
Where was it at?
In Cave City.
Okay, so I definitely was not playing for the show.
And Chick said, hey, Jake can't play the show, so I'm just going to do the guitar vocal thing, and I'll do a shorter set.
Yeah.
And that way El Astronauta can play longer or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I went, hey, I'm a drummer, and I know all your songs.
Yeah.
So I ended up playing the
gig. That's amazing.
We had one quick rehearsal, and I went,
that's beautiful.
If I've said this publicly, I don't think bluntly, but I've said this publicly to a few people. I would play drums again full time if I was asked to play in the Daddy Sisters.
Yeah,
that would be the only thing. That would be the only thing that would currently draw you out of retirement of being a drummer.
Well, okay, so I've.
But I would let you have it first.
Oh, yeah.
But Jake the Snake owns that shit right
that's
now.
That's right.
I'm not interfering. I am stepping on those
snakes.
Would
not interfere with that one bit. But
but I'm with you.
We'll come back to that, because I will say El Astronauta, finally got to see you guys play recently. Really loved it. Surprisingly eclectic. You don't pigeonhole yourselves in your metal stylings at all. Really enjoyed that. But I got to say, just the other night, I did a wedding in Frankfurt, actually, at the Buffalo Trace Distillery. And I hauled ass back to Bowling Green afterwards, because the wedding wrapped up earlier than I kind of thought it was going to.
Is this the night I ran into you at the Daddy Sisters show?
Then yes. Then yes, it was.
Yeah.
It is that night, yeah. Okay, because I get nights mixed up.
Well, I walked up to you right in between the bands, because it was a brief moment of no bands playing.
Yeah, right.
So I could talk to people.
Right.
And I walked up to you real quick and said, I just wanted to make sure you got your t-shirt.
Yeah.
Ordered a t-shirt from us.
Oh, yeah,
I dropped it off at the station.
Ended up on my desk. It was a great surprise.
And that was that was our entire conversation.
And again, count on it. Ask me 15 years down the road if I still have that t-shirt, and you can count
on it.
I will.
I'm wearing that.
But I got to say, I've seen Chick play in a lot of bands over the years, including anthologies that I mentioned earlier, Miss Umbrella back in the day. Remember the Bread and Bagel?
Yes. There was a pretty decent conversation about the history of those bands and those shows. So when you pull up the podcast for Chick, you'll get a lot of that.
Yeah, and I've been seeing her play back before
I caught wind
of
the Black Shades.
Oh, yeah.
That was my introduction.
Of course, the Black Shades are in a Bowling Green institution at this point. Yeah. But, so I think that the Daddy Sisters is a perfect channeling of everything Chick has been doing musically. Like, I had this feeling that night of that show of I was like, okay, this has reached critical mass. This is exactly the music that she needs to be making right now. Like, this is her sound. I don't know, at its sharpest. I was so impressed with the songs, the sass, the riffs. I mean, her guitar tone was just exactly perfect.
Perfect.
I mean, couldn't be better. And she's a big gearhead.
Yeah.
So I know that, but like, holy crap, it sounded so good.
Every show I've seen is better than the last.
Yeah, and like, and I feel like that this is a product.
The weirdest thing for me was being on stage playing these songs that I love,
which are just such.
And I had a chart of, you know, to guide me through them, because I know them, but I didn't necessarily
sure,
know
get,
them
you
perfectly.
Get your tempos and your
so I had to make sure I had all my notes. So I kind of missed out on the awesomeness of
just
taking
to
it in
the moment. Yeah,
but when
because you're a little in your head trying
when
to
when we played Bang
up.
Bang.
Yeah,
I didn't have to really worry about
yeah because you know that
sheets.
Scene.
I knew what to do. So that was like the last song of the night. I got to really soak it in.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe I'm playing drums for the Daddy Sisters.
Yeah, and that
it's almost like a coveted thing. It's like it's like a golden opportunity.
I think it is.
And I ran with it.
Yeah.
But I would not I have to say that Jake's the perfect drummer.
Oh yeah, I mean, really, like.
But you and I would fight to the death.
Yeah,
to take that
we would. We both would for sure. But yeah, Jake's drums are streamlined. There's enough pizzazz without getting in the way of the. Because those songs are really.
He's like the modern day Gene Krupa to me.
Yeah,
he really is. He's got the pizzazz and the technique, but he's solid.
Yeah,
rock solid.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't miss a
locked
beat.
In.
It's perfect.
Some
it's the ultimate drummer.
And some really unusual accents and things that you don't quite expect. Would you go, ooh, okay,
yeah.
A little pepper in there. All
yeah.
right.
It's
you know.
Phenomenal. And I really think that as a duo band is perfect.
Yeah.
I couldn't
totally
get
agree.
Any better.
Yeah, I totally agree. So that would be the thing right now that I'm the most currently excited about.
I agree.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people have said that.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's yeah. like the first name. Everybody talks about the Daddy Sisters and the Josephines.
Yeah.
But how do you deny that? These are two amazing bands.
Yeah.
That are from right here.
They're from right here and they've hit their stride. You have that feeling of like you can see it, and especially when you've been a part of the scene and watching these people play with things that either accentuate what they do better or worse, and then you like watch it and there's that feeling of, oh,
yeah.
It just clicked.
Yeah.
Like, this is where they're supposed to be. This yep. is what they're supposed to be playing. You know, one of the big near misses of our community like that was Schools. You remember mm-hmm. Schools?
I do to a point.
I think
I'm not as familiar with that band as some other
Schools.
People are. They do.
Yeah.
Some people have.
I think that Schools was a band that should have made it.
Hmm.
In that made it in air
right.
quotes.
Right now it seems that Dan Luke and the Raid is the one on point to be the next band from Bowling Green to fully make it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would not disagree with that at all. But Schools is a fascinating one when you think about the legacy of the Bowling Green music scene, because it felt like everything was lined up, like they
right.
are about to be huge. They're about to be on Cage the Elephant or Sleeper Agent levels.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I don't know. It just didn't. And I don't know if what happened
it's
internally
happened
within
a lot,
the band.
Though. It's happened so many times.
I'm sure there's every scene, you know, every
oh, yeah.
vibrant music scene all over the country could have moments like that. But it's frustrating because you have those times when you say, like, man, Jeremy Simon should have been a household name
oh,
for rock fans. But
no, I agree. And I don't know as much as you and some other people I've talked to, but I know enough
yeah.
to know that I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but anyways.
Anything else stand out to you in the scene right now or even in the past? Did any bands of the 90s or early 2000s stick out to you?
I try not to dwell too much on the past, but I will say because of the fact that I think that as music fans we should always be looking forward and never caught in the past.
True.
I'll say that. This is not.
I like that. No, that's true.
It's so true that I think, because I think that you have to look at the past. And I mean, if you look through my record collection,
yeah,
I have a ton of records that were released between 67 and 77. That's
okay.
I mean, so many of my favorite albums are in that time. But
right.
I also, I never, the day that I stop finding and loving new music is the day they put me in the ground. Like, I don't ever want to reach that point. I don't ever want to become one of these people who carries on about how music's not as good as it used to be.
Yeah.
I hate that opinion.
Yeah, that's true.
And I say, like, it's not that it's changed. Music hasn't changed. You've changed. And I hate to sound like a jerk there, but I say, like, well, you just don't, if you don't like the way music's made now, that's cool, but you can't say it's not
just,
as good.
It's just an opinion.
It is. It's an opinion. And it's not that music's not as good. It's that it may not speak to you as much.
True.
Because I'm a big rock guy, and there's no big rock right now that's like what I mean when I say rock. I mean, there's Imagine Dragons, but
would that really be a rock band?
They're the ones that top the rock charts all the time. Them and 21 Pilots. Yeah,
that's. I'm so old, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, isn't it a crying shame?
I guess it's a little weird.
It is a little weird. But, that being said, I'm as excited about Post Malone or Lil Nas X's current albums as I am anything
Again,
coming out.
You know? That just shows the music fan that you are.
Yeah.
You're all-around, non-biased music fan.
Yeah, but saying that, I have to say about a classic band that actually still does exist. And they're technically based out of Nashville, but they played so many shows here in town. That I felt like that Bowling Green was their second home, and they used to say that they felt like Bowling Green was the city that was the most receptive to them. Did you ever see the Ocelots?
No, I didn't.
This is so anyone who like knows me that's listening to this podcast right now was like checking off a list of bands I will mention, and they knew he got to the Ocelots. He had an excuse because I always say they're the best band that you've never heard because
and they're from Nashville.
They're technically from Nashville. They had a member that lived here at one point.
When was this?
Okay, so they're still technically a band, they're not releasing actively currently. But every time I run into, actually, one of their members works here in town. I won't say where, but their guitar player still works here in town. Such talented dudes, and their sound is kind of an unusual indie rock blend, a Pitchfork rock kind of thing. Like if the Pitchfork world had picked them up, I think they would be very well received, but they just never got the exposure that they needed. I'd say that their glory era, for lack of a better way to put it, is like 2010 to 2015.
Okay.
And
it's really not that far.
No. It's not that long ago.
A decade at this point, but, you know.
Sure. No, they're
again,
not that far.
A decade as you get older doesn't
mean
seem
much.
As long.
Yeah. Well, like even me sitting here saying that, I'm like, oh man, has it been 2015?
It really is kind of weird.
It is. Yeah. But. They're amazing, and their stuff is online. I challenge anybody listening to, who hasn't checked
the
them out.
The Ocelots,
yeah, and they're based out of Nashville. Like that, have an album called "If Lightning Strikes Us Both," because there's a couple bands called the Ocelots, of course, that come up when you search. But "If Lightning Strikes Us Both," one of their best albums. The truth about Ocelots. Great songs, powerful lyrics, amazing guitar playing. Their guitar player is a big fan of Thurston Moore and stuff. There's a lot of really interesting things happening in their songs that,
cool.
And I remember, and I discovered them from a Revolution event. They were playing.
See,
I believe it was. I get Revfest and Mayhem confused.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, but they were playing one of those, and I saw them play, and I was like, "This is my new favorite band."
That good?
Oh yeah,
really made an
impression. And I immediately just bought up everything that they had available. And again, I have it all still, even the like EPs they've released over time and things. But yeah, that would be the thing from the past that I'd say like
that's cool.
That is definitely still worth checking out.
That's cool.
And then going forward, whatever Trey Bartley's next project ends up being will inevitably be amazing.
Maybe he'll promote it.
Yes, that would be awesome.
Or maybe you'll promote it
on
and
his
do
behalf.
All the work for
exactly.
It.
Yeah, I should be his manager full time.
I'm sorry.
And then the Daddy Sisters that I already mentioned.
Of course, absolutely. Before I do wrap this up, I do want to ask you an odd question, I guess, because you are quite the collector of local music stuff. What are some of your most prized things that you have? Because a lot of bands put out stuff, but I've put out stuff over the years where I only put out 100 copies.
Yeah.
You know, so do you have anything of that nature that's a limited homemade print that you know only 50 were made and...
Yeah, well, a handful of those things we talked about that Josh Hines has done have really, really, really meant a lot to me to be able to get my hands on, like the Commander, which Commander was such a huge part of my life. At one point in time, people called me Commandy. I mean, you know, I was obviously their biggest fangirl. I would ride with them to shows, and stuff. But so getting my hands on those, the Pimp Slap things, Laid to Rest, I mentioned them earlier. Mm-hmm. They were a sort of thrashy metal band that existed 10 years ago at this point.
So long. Do you have anything in this pile of stuff that is like a holy grail?
I'm trying to think if I do.
Because it's one of those things where I know there's stuff out there, but you don't always think about it.
Yeah.
But you know it's out there. And who has it? You know, it's one of those kind of things.
Yeah.
Because so many things locally released can sometimes be extremely low quantity.
Oh yeah, so, very much so. Yeah, where there's
where you keep and preserve stuff. I'm interested to see what you have.
There was a band called The Diggits. Do you remember The Diggits?
I do not. Yeah. Oh, you're really good at this.
Yeah, yeah. And they had a cassette that was like a homemade cassette that you pretty much had to know somebody to get. And I still have that, and that is one that is very, very, very near and dear to my heart. It would be one of the things that you save when the house is burning kind of thing.
That's great.
Yeah. So there you go.
I love it. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, man.
Is there anything I missed or you wanted to maybe discuss in a setting like this?
Not that I know of.
You think we covered it?
I'm good. I've talked more than enough, I'm sure. I'm good at that. When I tell people I work in radio and they say, oh, that makes sense. I'm like, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah, thanks. Because I talk all the time.
Well, Andy Morgan of Woohoo 107 Morning Show with Andy and Brooke, but also an incredibly important Bowling Green music scene fan and historian, I would say. So thank you so much for taking time to do an episode of the Sound Atlas and sharing some of your story with us.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm really glad I was able to be a part of it.
Yeah. Rock on.